They're staying. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. And beginning at verse 23. Read to the end of the chapter. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Father, we thank you for your word. It is such a treasure, a blessing, assurance. And, oh God, we just praise you that you gave us this word and we have it to study and understand what your will is. I do pray that you give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and I pray that your word will touch hearts and lives of believers. And if there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, may they come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in your name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been going over some doctrines of the church, and we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper today. Now, we have the Lord's Supper every Sunday, every Sunday night. Well, why Sunday night? It's supper. It's not the Lord's breakfast. I don't know, you know. There are a lot of different ideas about this topic. I love that we have the Bible. I love that we have something that we can say, that's our authority. We'll all agree that's where we get our answers from. And if we've got that kind of thing, we have some reasonable opportunity to come into agreement on what is good doctrine and what is bad doctrine. What does the Bible say? That's what I want to know. I'm not really worried about what works. I'm not worried about what's in style. I'm not worried what's easy to accomplish. I just want to know what the Bible says we ought to do. We ought to believe. And if we can do that, that satisfies me completely. Now, there are churches. The Catholic Church is a big one. Maybe many others too. That you have to partake of this or you lose your salvation. And this is the offering of the actual body and blood of the Lord. Well, that's not true. Then there's others similar, but quite different too. The Church of Christ. Now, the Church of Christ believes that you have to be baptized in water to be saved, and then to keep saved, you have to take the Lord's Supper. You know, you have to eat this little bread and fruit of the vine or wine, whatever, or else you lose your salvation. Now, that's not true either. And there are a lot of people that make a lot of different things. Now, many, many churches. I grew up in a church that you might have had the Lord's Supper one time a year. And the only thing that was said about it, we're going to take the Lord's Supper, communion. No, we're going to have communion. And it was in little things behind the pews. And after the service was over, there was very little said except, we're now going to take the Lord's communion and communion with the Lord, whatever. Everybody took it and walked out the door. And so there wasn't a great deal of emphasis placed on it. So as to the frequency of time, some people take it once a year, some people take it once a quarter, some churches take it once a month, and some churches take it once a week. Now, we can look at the Bible and what I'm going to do. I just read you the most explanatory passage of Scripture about the Lord's table. Gives us most of our answers. Well, we have a lot of answers other places in the Word of God. And do I think it's important? Yes, I think it is very important. I remember whenever I got convicted of taking the Lord's Supper too little. I have never been convicted of taking it too much. But I have been convicted of taking it too little. And too lightly. As that it doesn't mean much. Ah, it's just a little big deal. Just take it on. Go away. And so I began to study the Word, and as I said, the only thing that mattered to me, and if I'm wrong, prove me wrong, out of a King James Bible. Get your good old King James and show me from the King James where I'm wrong, and I'll acknowledge it. But until you can do that, why, I'm going to give you a little bit of a hard time on some things, because I have studied it. And it's not like it's just that I have an opinion. I changed my opinion. I changed what I teach and what I practice because of what I read and what I studied. And I began to see that the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, communion within the body of Christ and with Christ Himself is a very important thing. And it's a very good thing for the church to do. Now, talking about the Lord's table, we sometimes call it the Lord's table. Look back in Leviticus 24:5. You see a background for the Lord's table as we have in the New Testament church. In the table of showbread that was practiced by the Jews, each tribe had a loaf of bread. There were 12 loaves, of course. The tribe of Levi just belonged to the Lord. And so they weren't represented there. But we got 12 tribes. Look here at Leviticus 24:5. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deal shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the table, pure table, before the Lord. In that temple, in that tabernacle before the temple, they had a table, and that table had 12 loaves on it, one loaf for each tribe of the nation of Israel. And it was before the Lord at all times, and they belonged to the Lord, but they belonged to their tribe. Like Paul would say, I'm from Benjamin, you know, and David, I'm from Judah, and all of Judah rallies around David. So, this was the 12 loaves of the Lord's table that was in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, then in the temple in the Old Testament, and it was a representation of the 12 tribes of Israel before the Lord continually. Now look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread, which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. One loaf represents the church, not 12, not 2 or 3. One loaf. We are a unified body. We all partake of that one bread and that one body. So what we have in the Lord's table is a representation of one loaf of bread. And that one loaf represents everybody. Black and white, old and young, rich and poor, all different colors, all different nations, all different Anybody's a part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
We're all one. We were saved exactly the same way. I know some people that went to hell because they didn't like that part of Jesus' salvation. That you have to be saved the same way as a dope addict or a prostitute or a murderer has to be saved. But that's the way it is, fella. Jesus paid your debt, and if he doesn't pay your debt, it can't be paid. And if he doesn't pay your debt, your debt's not going to be paid, and you're going to go to hell. You got to humble yourself and realize you're a sinner enough to receive Jesus. And then you're in this one family. One family. All this one church is one family, and then all of the church spiritually is one family. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, as we talk, there are different ideas of a lot of people about this. Goes back through history all the way back into even Bible days, but much more so as the denominations have spread out. How about the frequency and purpose? How often should we take the Lord's table? And then, what is the purpose of taking the Lord's table? Well, the purpose is in this one verse, 1 Corinthians 11:26. In fact, this is a very important verse. It lends itself to the proving of many doctrinal statements. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. When you take the Lord's table, its purpose is to show his death till he comes back. You're proclaiming to everybody, I got saved by this man dying, paying for my sins and coming out of the grave. And the reason why I'm doing this is because he saved me. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. I'm a part of this family. We're all together. I may not like you as much as he likes you, or you may not like me as much. You know, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We're all one body. We're all one bread. We're one communion. We belong to each other. And that's why a church ought to be like a family. Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. But is to show the purpose of the Lord of the Lord's Supper. Excuse me. Is to show the Lord's death till he come. He's coming again. And he says we're going to eat that bread with him. He's going to sit down and serve us. Amazing. Amazing. To even just think about it. Till he come. Show the Lord's death till he come. Well, how about frequency? Well, thinking in one way, right here in this verse, it says, as often as. It doesn't say as seldom as. Have you thought about it? Some people, it just doesn't matter to them. They never think about it. They would have been taught anything about it. And every once in a while, they go through a ritual. And it doesn't bother them. And yet, what he said here, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, I begin to think we ought to be doing it often. That's the word the Scripture uses. For as often as. And well, praise the Lord, can I find anything else out? Well, look at Acts 20, verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7. Can we find out what the apostles did? The book of Acts is a great book. I've heard people say, you cannot teach doctrine from the book of Acts. Well, that's just ridiculous. God gave us Acts to show us what they did, how they made their decisions, where they came to some of those decisions, and how the early church acted and reacted. Well, here in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to what? Break bread. Hey, upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, by the way. Take a look at your calendar. It's been that way for umpteen years. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Their purpose in coming together was to take the Lord's table. To sit down at his table and proclaim his death. Rejoice in their salvation. So, how about the first day of the week? That would be weekly, wouldn't it? At least. When the disciples came together to break bread, Now, when was it? Well, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech till midnight. I don't think he started at 9 in the morning. It might have been. I mean, this guy is some horse of a preacher. But I don't think so. I believe it was after work. And the disciples, week after week, they didn't have days off. They didn't have 8-hour days. They came together to hear Paul, and it was supper time, and they broke bread and celebrated the Lord, and Paul got to preaching, and he didn't have a watch. And he was real enthusiastic. I used to be very enthusiastic. I have been terribly enthusiastic in preaching in years past, as you can read, or you can listen to some of my old tapes. I sort of watch the clock now. I have a little mercy on people who are having to listen to me. But at any rate, he continued his preaching until midnight. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts 2:42. Excuse me. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. There's some of your meetings, brethren. How about the apostles' doctrine? Well, that's what we got right here. This is the apostles' doctrine. That's the apostles' doctrine. How about fellowship? You know, I like coming to church. I love you people. I'm thankful to have been here so long. I have been here so long. And I'm actually getting old here. Well, that's a blessing. The fellowship. We're like a family. We've known each other so many years, and week by week by week, what a good fellowship it is just to walk in and shake hands and then sit down around the Word of God or sit down around the Lord's table. How about in breaking the bread? Well, I was told that it was going to become very trivial and what? Mundane. Boring. I've been doing this now. Good night. Well over 30 years. I'm not bored yet. Amen. And when I sit down around the table and somebody stands up and reads the verse and somebody calls out a hymn and somebody else gives a word of praise and somebody else says, gives thanks to the Lord for saving his soul, and then we take it. No, I don't get the actual body and blood of the Lord. I get a memory and I give a testimony to his salvation, and to his death, burial, and resurrection, and to his coming again. And then I'm saved, not because I'm good. I'm saved because somebody saved me. Somebody paid my debt. So that's why I'm debt free. He took me out of the law of sin and death and placed me on a different plane under the law of the life of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. I'm alive. My debt's been paid. Excuse me. And prayers. How about meeting? When should the disciples meet and take the Lord's table? Well, let's go back to Acts 20, verse 7 again. See if we can figure anything out. By the way, I'm reading you all the verses on the Lord's Supper in the Bible. You know, if you don't read your Bible completely through, you'll miss out. I know some of you love certain parts of it so much. But I had a way of reading the Bible when I first got saved. I read the same amount of verses out of the Old Testament as I did out of the New Testament. Well, that ended up me reading the New Testament four times as many times as I read the Old Testament. Because I'd read 20 verses and 20 verses, 20 verses and 20 verses, 40 and 40. 7 and 7. Well, you know, when you keep reading it over and over again, you find some things you missed the first time. And you say, wait a minute, how'd that question come into my mind? Okay, when should we meet? Now, there are a lot of people that are Sabbath Christians. Now, we're not Sabbath Christians. We don't meet on Saturday. The Sabbath is Friday night when the sun goes down, to Saturday night when the sun goes down. And that's where the old expression, you know, Saturday night was the night to howl. I mean, the Sabbath was over. Now it's party time, you know. So Saturday night got a reputation all those years. It was after the Sabbath. So you could go out and do all sorts of things. But here's what it says in Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. The first day of the week. Now, some people might want to argue about that, and there are lots of arguments about it. By the way, there's not a doctrine in this Bible that doesn't have somebody that believes different than you, that is going to teach different than you. You have to make up your own mind. You're going to have to choose what you believe, and you're going to have some basis for that belief other than just, I believe. How about using the Bible? How about using the apostles' doctrine? How about using Acts chapter 20, verse 7? Why don't let meet on the first day of the week? Let's just take off on the first day of the week. How about that? If you got a chance to work at your job and pick your days off, don't pick Tuesday or Wednesday, and don't pick Saturday. Pick Sunday. Pick a day where you can meet with the believers. Now, when do the believers meet? Well, back in the book of Acts, they met on the first day of the week. The Lord's Day. Resurrection Day. We don't just celebrate the resurrection at Easter. In fact, most of Easter is a bunch of baloney. It is superstition and it is paganism, most of it. And you know, little chickies and little rabbits and eggs and new dresses. Hey, I love. Hey, I love beautiful girls and beautiful things. Amen. I'm a boy, you know. I'm a man. God made me like girls. Now I know that in all the world, in all the animal kingdom, the most beautiful animals are the males. So probably it is true of men too. The most beautiful are the males. But they're not the most beautiful to me. I think the females are the more beautiful. That big lion, the women don't have that hair. That big lion with all that mane and haircut. Wow, he's something else. And the birds, which one are the brightest and the most beautiful? It's the males. Females are drab. How about up on the first day of the week? When we meet, why not pick a day? Pick a day we can all meet on. And if it wasn't, say, a law, like taking the Sabbath law and moving it over to Sunday in the New Testament, we don't need to do that. But what we need to know is if the believers are meeting on the third day of the week, what day would you want to get there? But they did meet upon the first day of the week. And they met to take the Lord's Supper and have preaching. Look at Revelation 1:10. John, for his testimony, is an old man. And he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And he wondered why he was still alive, I'm sure. And then he began to write, and God began to move upon him. And he says in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Evidently, he got his visions on the Lord's day. Now, I don't know how long it took him to write them. And not only, but say, there's the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. That was Jesus bringing his message to his messenger. So I think the Lord's day is, if it was good enough for the apostles, and if it were good enough for John, I think it ought to be good enough for us. So when you start making your choices on when you can get off or whether you can make the meeting, some of you go, well, I can't meet because I work. on Sunday. Well, why do you work on Sundays? Some of you, you can't help it. If you're a policeman or a fireman or some other thing like that, nurse, doctor, yes, I understand. But if you can make your choices, why don't you choose to be at the house of God with believers? And by the way, it's just become a common practice throughout Christianity. Sunday is a day off for most people. Now, it's not necessarily a day for worship. Most people think it's a good day for a barbecue, or to go to the beach, or to go to the coast, or to go fishing, or do something else, whatever. But why don't you do it to be meeting with the saints of God upon the first day of the week and celebrating the Lord today? Now look at 1 Corinthians 10:16. It's called the Lord's table. And we are gathered around the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idol is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. The communion of the blood of Christ separates us from the world. The communion of the body of Christ separates us from the world. We are a unique people, set apart by what Christ has done for us. And we have only two physical things given us in the New Testament, physical, outward things to remind us who we are and what we are, and that's baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, I know some Christians don't do anything. They preach the gospel like we preach it. I've met them, talked to them, debated with them. And they don't baptize anybody in water, and they don't take the Lord's table. They're just spiritual believers. Well, I personally think these two things are commanded us in Scripture. And so if we're going to follow the Scriptures, then we ought to be paying attention to at least these two things to start with. You get saved, get baptized. Follow the Lord and baptize. What is it? That is an open testimony. I belong to Jesus. I died with Him. I was buried. I rose again. And it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We gather around the Lord's table. And by the way, it's not the church's table. Now, we sometimes do exclude some people from the Lord's table if they've been disciplined and they have not honored the Lord by confessing their sin and asking for forgiveness. We'll exclude them. Don't take the Lord's table. Because until you get your heart right with God, we don't want you messing up our communion and our fellowship. This is the Lord's table. But by the way, it's not the church's table. So I don't believe in closed communion in the sense the only people that can take the Lord's table with us is those who are registered, licensed members of this church. If you're a believer in good standing and you happen to be coming along and you pass through our doors and you're saved and you know it and you're right with God and you know it, you're welcome. Because as far as I'm concerned, you belong to the Lord, you don't belong to me. I, like you, belong to the Lord. And I want to keep a pure table, a right table, but I want to recognize whose table it is. It is the Lord's table. And if you belong to Him, then you're certainly welcome at His table. Now, notice what it says in verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. How many times do you hear somebody tell you, we're all worshiping the same God? Well, let me tell you, when those Guatemalan Indians, where I used to live in Guatemala, when they go up on the volcano, and they come to this little spot where there's a little something for offering sacrifice, I'm not sure exactly what it is, and they put these chicken legs and other things like that, and chicken blood, and whatever, they're not worshiping God. They're worshiping devils. Many times in Guatemala, I think in Mexico also, when the soldiers came in and they conquered them, they destroyed many temples. Some of them, even when they knew what they were doing, the Indians covered the temples over and made a hill. They just literally scooped up dirt and hauled it for miles and made a hill. And the Catholics knew, hey, they really value this place right here. It must be a holy place. They built their church right on top of it. So the Indians could actually walk in there and still worship their devils on the same ground, and they're right down underneath that Catholic church. So it wasn't any problem to say Saint so-and-so, Saint somebody else, just change the name. But if you're worshiping devils, it's not worshiping God. If you're worshiping God, you're not worshiping devils. You need to make a distinction and a difference between the two. And in the Lord's table, it says you can't eat at the devil's table and the Lord's table too. Why? We don't want you to. We don't accept what you're doing. We only accept things for the Lord. And so if it's something that's cast out of this religious heritage that we've had brought down to us, but it's not with the Bible, and it doesn't suit the Lord's people and the Lord's table, then we don't have to part in it. And I do not believe that the God the Gentiles sacrifice to is God. I believe it's devils. Now, the purpose of the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians 11:26. We've been there a time or two. Be there again. It's a very good verse. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We are proclaiming his death. What are we doing when we're preaching? We're preaching he's risen from the dead. Death has no more dominion over him. And he can save your soul and do the same thing for you. That's what we're preaching. And we have Christians who are rejoicing in that. I'm rejoicing. Man, I died in Christ. He paid my debt. I'm not under the law of sin and death anymore. I've been delivered out of that realm and put into the law of the life of the Spirit of Christ. Puts me in a completely different plane. And that's what we're doing. And that's what you're doing at the Lord's table. You are proclaiming His death and your salvation. It's a beautiful thing. Look at, by the way, how long should we do it? Till he come. He said he's coming. And so if I believe that, what am I doing at the Lord's table? I'm saying I'm looking forward to his coming. Till he come. So that one verse really answers a lot of questions for me. Now look at verse 11:29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I've been preaching 54, almost 55 years. And I don't know how many people have told me I can't take the Lord's table because I am not worthy. Well, let me tell you something, friend. I'm not worthy. And every time I come to that table, I realize I am not worthy. I think it's one of the best things I've ever done because it continually reminds me I am not worthy to sit at this table. You know how we can get as Christians? Hey, I don't smoke, drink, cuss, gamble anymore. I'm not running around on my wife. I'm not stealing from the bank. And so I'm going to church all the time and I'm giving tithes of all that I possess. I'm pretty good. I'm sure better than a whole lot of people out there that I know. Sure better than those I read about on television and, and hear about good night, some of the things that people do to each other, it's amazing. We get to thinking pretty good about ourselves. Even when you are as good as you are, just, I love my illustration of ants. How does one ant tell another ant apart? I've looked at them for years. They all look the same. How do they recognize it? They talk to each other. They tell people where they tell the other ants where the food is. You just leave a little something out. It ain't going to take long, man. Those ants will get to it and nothing flat. They communicate. They talk. And one ant might say, I am twice as strong as you. You ever watch ants carrying things? Some. Well, a big red ant's what I would call him. A big red ant. And he's got this humongous load. It's like you carrying a Cadillac. And you couldn't do it. But he can. Well, now, the guy that's carrying the Cadillac, he looks down on the other ant that's only carrying a crumb. Am I right? You the same way. I'm the best workman they got. Let's wrestle. Let's wrestle. Come on. Let's see who's the strongest. Did you know that the gold medal winner in racing the 100-yard dash is not a second faster than number two, three, or four? There's just a small, edged him out by the nose and won the gold. And number two, nothing. He's nothing. He's a loser. Isn't that terrible? But that's us making comparisons between ourselves. And God's looking down and says, I don't take much pleasure in the legs of a man. Did you know He says that? He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. You may be the best person in this church, the best preacher, the best teacher, the one that loves God the most. And down here we can see, yes, you're a little bit apart from us. But when you sit out at that table, you got nothing to stand on. You can't say, I'm good enough to eat this table. You can't say, I'm worthy to sit down here at this table because, Lord, I've given so much money, and Lord, I've preached the gospel for so long, and Lord, I have witnessed the souls, and Lord, I've stood up, and Lord, I've suffered for you. No, when you come to that table, what a beautiful thing that table is. It's a humbling thing. You're not worthy. Nobody is worthy to sit at that table. But by the way, that's not what this verse said. It says worthily. You remember any of your English? Some of you guys going to school right now, just got out of school. You ought to tell me, but unworthily. That's an adverb of manner. It's how you do it. It's not a value of what you are. It's the way you do it. You take the Lord's table unworthily. The manner of your sitting at that table, the attitude you have at that table, can condemn you. And He says, many are sickly. And many sleep. He means there's a lot of Christians that are dead because they sit down at the Lord's table with the wrong attitude. I wonder if He does that now. Well, if He does, we wouldn't recognize it. Oh, no, they died of cancer. Oh, no, they had a car wreck. Oh, no, they... Unworthily. The attitude you have when you sit around that table, it ought to be of humility. It ought to be asking for forgiveness. You ought to be recognizing your great need of what the Lord has done. And any time you sit there in pride or angry, judging your brother or criticizing this thing or the other thing, any time you're saying that, you are taking the Lord's table unworthily. And it's a very dangerous thing to do. Just to sit down and say, okay, yeah, take the red, take the... That's unworthily. He said, this do in remembrance of me. It has a very important meaning. And it ought to have to all of us. And too often, I am too slack. And I know this. I hear some people tell me sometime, just follow the golden rule and the Ten Commandments. That's a great idea. Anything wrong with following the Ten Commandments? Not a thing I can see. How about the golden rule? Do unto others, yeah, them doing to you. Wow, that's pretty good. How are you doing with that? What is your success rate right now on keeping the Ten Commandments and the golden rule? I had two old deacon's wives in one of the churches I pastored when I was a very young man. And I got them together. They were visiting, and so I was going to see what they were. They visited every week. And I wanted to see what they were doing in their visiting. And so I asked them, I said, well, what do you tell the people if they're lost? So I tell them to follow the golden rule and to love their neighbors themselves and follow the Ten Commandments. They didn't win many people to the Lord. You know why? They were giving the wrong message. Yes, when I go to the Ten Commandments, I'm a sinner. Right now. If I were to sit down and read the Ten Commandments today, I would come away from that a sinner. Love my neighbors myself? Not on your life. I love your brother, but not that much. When I buy a new car, it's going to be mine, not yours. When I buy a new fishing rod, it's going to be mine, not yours. You understand? Yeah. We don't live up to those. What are these? These are your guides for life? Yes, in one sense. But no, they're not. They're to bring conviction of sin so you'll humble yourself before God. The whole thing. And even when you come to the Lord's table, it's what it ought to do for you. It ought to bring a conviction of sin. Ought to humble you before God Almighty. Ought to bring you to a place of thanksgiving because the Lord saved your soul. And you're not worthy. And so, to take the Lord's table worthily is to remember the Lord, to look for His coming, to give thanks for His death and His resurrection, give thanks that He had mercy on a worm like you. Amen? It says to discern the Lord's body. Eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. When you come into the Lord's table, even a place like us who make much more of it than many people do, maybe not as much as some, and you sit down around a group of people and they're singing songs and they're giving testimony and whatever, you might not even consider the body. The body in the church. The body of the Lord. The Lord's body. Are you able to discern? Or is it just a church meeting? Just a church meeting. It doesn't. No big deal here. No, Christ is there. And we're a part of it. And to be able to discern that, hey, there's a spiritual thing going on here besides the physical. It's a communion between us and Christ and one another. We are all one. And sitting down to think, well, okay, it's just a little meal. Okay, it's just a little thing. No. Here it is. We're one in Christ. We're worshiping God. We're all saved by the same blood. And we're all welcome to the table by the same mercy. Well, what should we use at the Lord's table? Now, there are many godly believers who use fermented wine at the Lord's table. One of the excuses they give is because of the alcohol content. Well, it's more safe from germs. But there's not that much alcohol in wine. Just want to let you know. Not like drinking liquor. It doesn't kill the germs. So when you're taking your one cup and you're going around and everybody's drinking out of the same cup, which might gross some of you out, but it doesn't bother me. I've done it both ways. Wherever I sat down, whatever they did, that's what I did. But at any rate, I want to see what the Bible has to say. We're going to look at three or four verses. Look at Matthew 26:29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this wine. That wasn't what it said, was it? Fruit of the vine. I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Did you notice how specific it is, fruit of the vine? Mark 14:25. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Fruit of the vine. Very specific. Look at Luke 22:18. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now there was a man named Welch. And he did not like going into liquor stores to buy wine just for the Lord's table. And so he began a process of cleaning it up to where it wouldn't ferment. And you couldn't get drunk from it. It's called Welch's grape juice. Been around a long time. You never know what somebody's religious convictions can do for you. It won't hurt you to drink grape juice. Well, what kind of bread? Unleavened bread. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Now, leavened bread is that which rises. Unleavened bread is like a tortilla. It's flat. It has no rising in it. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The bread ought to be unleavened bread, and the juice ought to be fruit of the vine. Now, sometimes there's a disagreement among people around the Lord's table. Some of them have one cup. They think the Lord just had one cup at the table, and he drank from it and passed it around for them all to drink from it. And some people, they for them, that's purest for them. And so they sit down to a table with 50, 60, 100 people in one cup. And the cup is passed. Well, now there's some people that know about germs, and they don't particularly like that idea. That if one fellow has a cold or the flu or strep throat, they don't really like drinking out of the same cup that he's drinking out. Causes a little problem, you know? So there's a division among believers about one cup or many cups. We use many cups, by the way, but here's a verse for you. Look at Luke 22:17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For as I'm concerned, you take the cup and pour it in a little into mine and then yours and go around. I think it's a perfect scriptural use for multiple cups. I think I'm scriptural. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God shall have come. It is for believers only. It is not for the lost. It is not to help you get saved, not to help them to get saved. It's not to help get them closer to God. It is for believers only. We don't sit in judgment. You judge yourself. If you feel like you can take the Lord's table, take it. But if you're wrong, you might be bringing damnation, condemnation to yourself. Hey, I hope I answered some of your questions. Lord bless you.